Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, welcome, happy new year, merry Christmas, all that sort of nonsense, and welcome back to A Link to the Cast. I must apologise that we've not been around for a couple of months, we've not been there for you, we've had many calls, texts, emails, all sorts of stuff coming through from people saying, where have you been, when are you coming back, are you returning for 2010? Well, the answer is yes, we are back, and this is the first podcast of 2010, and it's actually episode 11, so welcome to the show. Got a couple of great reviews coming up for you. Mass Effect 2 on the Xbox 360, massive hype about that game. Also, Tekken 6 on the PS3, one of the big games for 2010 as well. There's also Lego Rock Band Wii Edition, which we heard about in the last cast, which felt like it was an absolute year ago, although it was actually last decade, so it was a while ago. I'm going to review that for you as well. You'll have to hang on and wait and see. Okay, let's reintroduce ourselves as the podcast team from A Link to the Cast. My name is Mick. I look at all things Nintendo, both on the Wii and the DS. And we say good day, good afternoon to Brian Shelf.
Hello.
Hope you're well, sir. And also to Ricardo, our PS3 man. How are you, pal?
Hello. Yeah, I'm great. At least it looks like we're going to make the Chinese New Year, even if we didn't make 2010 itself.
If only we should have said that.
We should have thought ahead.
When we said we'd be back in the New Year, we of course meant the Chinese New Year. Anyway, hope you guys are both well. 2010 is back. A couple of great reviews coming up as well. We'll also go through some news as well, such as the iPod, which is the new thing from Apple. We didn't know about that last time we did the cast, and we'll also talk about what Sony's reaction to that has been. It makes for very interesting reading. But guys, I just want to make it clear that, you know, there have been good reasons why we haven't been here. So what I want you to do is to give me two reasons why we've not done a podcast for 2 months. I want one of them to be the truth. I want one of them to be a lie. So one truth, one lie. Brian Shelf, kick us off at the start. Tell me one truth and one lie about why we've not been here for the last, 3 months?
I had a fantastic holiday. Some friends of mine were going to Austria snowboarding, and then a friend of theirs dropped out. So they invited me along, despite the fact knowing that I'm absolutely appalling at any form of sport or physical activity, and the chances of me coming back without an injury were almost zero. I have come back with a minor injury. I have come back with two broken fingers, but fortunately that wasn't due to any snowboarding incident. That was due to the fact that they got stood. Well, there's no easy way of saying this. They got stood on by a German bloke. Curiously, when this story's going on far too long, isn't it? That's clearly the truth, not the truth. The truth is that I've just been snowed in. No, I haven't been snowed in. That's a lie as well. It's all lies. My whole life is a tissue of lies. I got snowed in a bit, and I went to work, and that's about it, really. Played a lot of stuff on consoles, and then didn't for a big chunk of time as well, more of which I'll explain later when I review Mass Effect. So there we go. One truth, one lie. One just big pile of waffle that was, wasn't it?
Okay, make up your own minds. Ricardo, give us a one truth, one lie about why we've not been on for the last 2 months.
Well, that'll be because we've been submerged under feet of snow and ice. And you know, when you're trapped indoors like that, the other reason it could have been is you might only just be finding your way around Pandora, either James Cameron's or Borderlands' new little Pandora imagining.
Yes, we've been on Pandora. That's one of the reasons we've not been on for the past 2 months. We have been immersing ourselves in it, though. I did enjoy it when I saw it at the cinema in fabulous 3D.
You saw it in 3D.
Absolutely.
I thought it came out with all punches in the 3D at the beginning, but then after that, left it alone for a bit.
No, your eyes get used to it. It's still there. Your eyes just have gotten used to the idea. That's one of the big criticisms of 3D, certainly for longer films, that they use it right at the start and you go, wow, but then it just becomes normal, and that's the danger. I'll give you two reasons why I've not been here for the last 2 months. First of all, a new job working on a new breakfast show on a certain radio station. Woo-hoo. So that's been sort of taking up a lot of my time. The other reason I've not been here is that I've been in prison. I've been in prison because we all got together and committed a heist. Oh, in fact, we didn't even commit the heist. We planned a heist, but we
busted.
Were caught. We were
You're
caught.
Ratted out.
Yeah, and we couldn't commit the heist, and instead we ended up in prison. So I'll let you guess which one of those.
They let you out to record this, clearly.
Which one of those is the lie? The Big Strong Boys, that was well remembered, that show. Remember that from the 90s. Anyway, we've not been around for 2 months for you. We are back now, though, and we'll have plenty of more casts to come in 2010. Okay, we'll do the news in a second, but first let's do the headline competition. The competition, what we normally do is we give out a story. You have to imagine if it happened in real life, if it happened and it was in the tabloid newspapers, what would that story be? What would that headline be that would capture your imagination as a listener? This one, after complaints last year, I'm going for real story. So this is a genuine story. This really happened. I give you the top line. A 38-year-old mum of two has lost 8 stone in a year, and it's all down to Wii Fit. The self confessed beached whale, who used to weigh 18 stone, said Wii Fit saved her life and improved her sex life. Her name is Laura Roberts. She's from Farnborough. She lost the weight by stepping on and off Nintendo's balance board for an hour a day. She's gone from size 22 to size 10 in a year. And apparently her 15-year-old daughter's friends now fancy her. That's her, an interesting story there of a woman who lost lots of weight on Wii Fit. She used to be known as a beached whale. I can hear your cogs working there, Rick and Brian. We will reveal your answers before the end of the cast. But first, let's do the news. Okay, Rick, I'm going to aim this first one at you because Brian Shell, for many a year, has told us about how much he enjoys Grand Theft Auto, the downloadable content for it, both The Lost and the Damned and The Ballad of Gay Tony. It was all Xbox 360 exclusive, so you could only play if you had an Xbox 360. But guess what?
Go on. Tell me what I said was going to happen. Go on.
PS3 and PC fans rejoice because the DLC episodes have been plucked from the hands of Xbox 360 users and will be available from the 30th of March on the PlayStation 3 and also on the PC.
At last, 2 years before, after they released the first patch, the first DLC for GTA 4, and it's finally coming. I said it would come out. But blimey, we've been waiting, haven't we?
Absolutely, and it's been a long time coming. It appears there's been some sort of exclusivity deal that has been done, which has obviously now expired. So obviously the game's still available on 360, but PS3 gamers will be able to get hold of it. Do you think that there's an element there that people like yourself, who are regular PS3s, are feeling a bit let down by the fact they've not actually been able to play it, and that actually if you had a 360, you could have played the other one maybe 18 months ago?
Yeah, I was expecting it to come out a bit before now, to be honest. Like I say, 2 years is a long time to wait for some of the episodic content, but certainly they held on to it for Fallout 3, the guys over at Bethesda Software as well. So, the Microsoft team really have been working hard to get that exclusivity rights for a good period of time. But you know what? There's a plus side to this, I think, for PS3 fans, because at least it gives them an excuse to go back to GTA 4, maybe in the run-up to this DLC patches or disc-based release, because when Grand Theft Auto 4 was originally released for the PS3, it didn't have trophies on it, and now they've already patched GTA 4. So if you go back and play GTA 4 now, you can get the trophies for all the missions again, and it'll be a good little intro and run up to the new games that they're releasing for it.
Brian Shelf, as he starts chewing into a piece of what's that, pizza bread? No, he's just nodding. He's just saying yes. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave you there, Brian. Enjoy your pizza. Mm. Brian Shelf, obviously, he's a big fan. Got something like, 70 hours out of Grand Theft Auto 4?
Yeah.
The problem is, if you played Grand Theft Auto 4 2 years ago and you finished it then, obviously you didn't have the trophies to go back to.
No.
It's a big world to go back and relearn, isn't it?
Yeah, and to be honest, there's a few trophies in there which I'm pretty sure anyone who played it with, like, either on the 360 with the achievements or on the PS3 with the trophies, there'll be some in there which you won't have done the first time around. I think you've got to complete the whole game in under like 24 hours or something to actually unlock one of the trophies, and of course as soon as you've just spent a bit of time just stealing cars for the hell of it, you're out of the game for that. So there's an excuse to pick it up anyway for people that have done it once, but whether or not you can go all the way through it, I'm going to try. I keep saying I'm going to try it, and I think towards the end of this year I might have a crack.
Let's keep it Sony, because they've had a really interesting reaction, I think, to the launch of iPad, which for people, everybody knows what the iPad is. Essentially, it looks like a big iPhone, but it's like it's a laptop PC that in a slate, almost like a monitor just on its side sort of thing. Really interestingly, there's a quote here from Sony, and they say, "Apple's entrance into the portable gaming space has been a net positive for Sony. When people want a deeper, richer console, they start playing on a PSP. Big winner, forget your shareholders, your Apple users and your people who are into Macs, the big winner out of all this thing will be the PSP.
Yeah, maybe not. I can't believe the angle that they're trying to put on it. I don't even look at the iPad and see it as like a gaming device. I know the iPhone and you know, iPod Touch have got some tremendous little apps that you can download and great little games, but I don't see it as a proper immersive gaming experience.
Well, let's give a for instance of it. If you're playing any form of sort of racing game, that this idea that you hold out, imagine just holding out a computer monitor in front of you and tilting it. Would you actually do that on a bus? Would you, it makes sense doing it on a little handheld that you can do on your lap.
Exactly.
But actually on a bus or something like that, you wouldn't fancy doing it.
The size almost becomes prohibitive because it is that much bigger. Yeah.
Well, for instance, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars is out on iPhone. You can get that on iPhone.
Yeah. Okay.
That will work on iPhone. Will it work on iPad?
No. I go back to it, and I just don't look at some devices as being something I want to play proper games on. I've got a pretty neat phone, and you can get games on it, but I just know that they won't live up to the standard of like a DS or a PSP game. So I just generally don't bother with it, you know, unless it's going to be a rubbish card game and I've got 20 minutes to spare on the train. I suppose I'll do that, but I don't think of it as a gaming platform that I'd go out and buy software for in that way.
Yeah, and I think certainly there'll be certain uses for the iPad, as you say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be gaming, and I certainly don't think people are going to get one and then think, you know what, I do need a PSP.
No, that's not it. But then again, the whole iPad thing, I'm afraid I just don't get it anyway. Like, I've got a mate who's listens to this cast, actually, and he, obviously he's a big fan of the iPhone and the iPod Touch and stuff, and as soon as he saw the iPad, he thinks, yeah, I want it, I really want it bad. And I'm thinking, 1,500 quid it's going to be probably around when it comes out here. What are you going to do? What are you going to use it for? He's got a small laptop already, he's got a decent PC, he's got a DS and 360i. I just don't see the place for it in my world at the moment anyway. So,
yeah.
No, I don't get it.
Sony as well. I don't know why all the stories are Sony. There seems to be a lot of action at the moment in terms of...
It's Christmas, that's why.
Yeah, that might be the case. But they're basically planning a motion-sensitive control system similar to Project Natal, which will be essentially, I think, a camera that sits on your TV.
Well, there's already that camera out, the eye.
The iToy camera.
Yeah,
it's a different,
right.
Is it not a slightly better camera? This one, they're talking about having sort of like millimeter specific control and all that sort of thing.
They said the PS3's toy camera is meant to be a lot better resolution than obviously the PS2 one. And I think you get peripherals that camera detects, don't you? You get two little handhold things, they've got coloured orbs on the end.
Well,
and that's how it detects your movement.
Well, interestingly, the release of it has been put back by 6 months, and it'll now come out pretty much at the same time as Natal. Now, if anyone's seen Natal in action, and you only have to type it into a Google search engine or any other search engine to just see a wealth of very exciting looking
videos.
videos, yeah. If you compare the same thing to the Sony version, does it have a name? I don't think I've read a name for it.
I think it's just Sony Motion Control or something.
Oh, that's original one, isn't it?
Ooh, it's probably one word with a capital C.
But they're coming out. The probably one advantage they had, while the PS3 is actually on the up in terms of sales over 360 Nintendo Wii, to get it out 6 months before, I think would have been a big boost for them. For it to come out at the same time as Natal, bearing in mind that Natal is the one that's really sort of getting people excited, I think there's a danger there that Sony might just miss the boat. And I think at this key stage in the market, sort of 3-4 years into their 10-year cycle, you get a bit frustrated there, I would imagine, as a PS3 owner.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You know, you'd think they'd learn the lesson from the whole Xbox 360 release. The whole reason that it's doing so much better than the PS3 pretty much globally is the fact that it had like a year head start, you know, and we're playing catch up on that ever since. So to relinquish that lead in the next sort of big thing in buzzwords of gaming, the motion control thing, it seems crazy. But you know what, I still think that the motion control, it might not look great when you just see stills of it, but I still think there's a really good use to it, because Natal's looks incredibly sexy, the way it's implemented and the fact you just move and stuff. But I still think there's an absolute necessity in the gaming motion control environment to have actual buttons at the same time. Like, you know, the Wii works really well because you can swing it and you can play tennis, but you can also, like, you know, do practice shots and then input a button to let it know that you're going to do your proper shot. And, you know, when it comes to shooting, you need to have a pistol, you need to have a gun or something.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's a scope there. There's something that...
And we've had this conversation before,
exactly,
haven't we? Talking about, for instance, Guitar Hero. You want to have the guitar in your hand.
Exactly.
You don't want to be playing a fake guitar.
No.
I mean, as a Wii owner, Wii Motion Plus, I look at the Red Steel 2. If you see any of the videos that are online, you think, you know what, that's ready to go. The technology's already there. It's already out there. And that game is going to be playable, and it looks like it's going to be great. Without all the fuss which is going to come over this motion control thing from Sony, or Natal, and the idea that you're going to have to spend a fortune on it. You know, know, Nintendo have got it there in the market.
It's about
using it in the right way now.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely it. You know, just simple as get it, use it well. That's what the Wii's done for 3 years now. So hey.
Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast on your MP3 player or on your PC. Maybe you're listening on an iPad, depending on when you've got hold of it. Maybe an iPod. Or maybe you've somehow managed to download one onto a PSP, which is, of course, what everybody who's got an iPad is really thinking. So thanks for making it A Link to the Cast. It's episode 11. We're back for 2010. Many thanks for choosing us. If you want to get in contact via the Facebook page, you can do. Just go to Facebook, type in A Link space to the Cast. That's us. We will appear. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/A Link to the Cast, and updates on there regularly from myself mainly. But Rick and Brian are known occasionally to throw something on there, which then confuses me because I think I didn't write
you didn't do that.
Yeah. But that's the way to do to get in contact with us as well. The website, of course, www.alinktothecast.co.uk. It's review time. Brian Shelf, you've been playing on Mass Effect 2, which has been plenty of coverage for this. I know in Liverpool City Centre, which is where I sort of work, there is a massive screen, and they've had Mass Effect 2, images and videos blasting out of that for about a month now. It looks absolutely incredible. Brian Shelf, take it away.
Mass Effect 2. This is going to be a massive review, so sit down and prepare. It's not going to be a massive review, essentially, because just after I got hold of my copy of Mass Effect 2, I was trying to finish off Batman Arkham Asylum, which I've been playing for a bit. I was playing a level still quite early on in it, where I was in some sort of room and the Joker's released some jokery gas, and the screen started going all sort of these weird pink and green blotches all over and stuff, and I thought, wow, well, that's a really clever effect. And I'm like, oh god, I can't work out where I'm going, that looks really good, that's really weird, it's all sort of very strange. And I thought, right, I'll just pause it for a second, and paused it in the pause menus doing the same sort of thing. I thought, that's a bit weird. And then it went on for a bit longer, and I thought, this, you know, I must have missed something vital telling me how to deal with this. I better go back. So, go to the Xbox menu. Oh, the Xbox menu's doing the same thing. That's not good. Well, I'll turn it off, turn it back on again. Turned it off, turn it back on again. The Xbox menu's still doing that. And I thought, oh. And turned it off, turned it on again. Oh, no. No picture at all. Just a little message in the corner telling me system failure. And annoyingly, only one red ring. So it's not even the three red rings of death. So I thought, I'm not ever seeing this console again. That's it. Because, you know, I'm going to have to pay to get it repaired or buy a new one or something like that. Went online, luckily discovered, even if it's only got one red ring, but it says it's E74, that's classed as a precursor to the red ring of death, and it's covered. And here you go, right? It's not often that you get to talk about good customer service these days, but I got sent a label, a PDF of a label, a UPS thing, stuck it on, took it to a little shop up the road that was a UPS drop-off point. It went all the way off to Frankfurt. It came back again within about a week and a bit. I have a feeling they haven't actually repaired it, and it is just a brand new Xbox. Smelled like a brand new Xbox when I got it out. And any game that I'd installed on the hard drive, it now says when I play it for the first time, it says, you can only play this on the original console on which you installed it. Pretty telling me off, and I have to reinstall it again. So I'm guessing they just put a new console in there and sent it back to me, which is brilliant. And it's much quieter. So obviously something had been going wrong on it for quite some time. But there you go. As a result, I've only had about 6 hours play of Mass Effect 2. Yeah, it's good. All my reviews tend to go like that. It looks fantastic. It's really, really good. I kind of got it. I was sort of stuck. I couldn't decide whether to go for Mass Effect 2 or Assassin's Creed 2 for the review for this, because Assassin's Creed 2, I really didn't like Assassin's Creed, although I've been told everything that was wrong with that has been sorted out for this. So I told a few people, I said, well, you know, I really liked Fallout 3. It's my favourite game of all time so far. And they said, if you loved Fallout 3, then Mass Effect is definitely the one for you, because it's big and it's sprawling and it's sort of like a space opera. It's great, and it's not too taxing as well. You know, sometimes in previous RPGs that I've played, Fallout was the exception to this. I've never been a big fan of sort of building levels and choosing choosing different sorts of strengths and weaknesses because, you know, I always think I'm missing out on something. Mass Effect has sort of taken this, Mass Effect 2 anyway, I didn't play the first one, but it's kind of taken it and kind of made it a subtlety of the game more than anything. In similar ways that Fallout did as well, that, you know, it's not vitally important. It's quite intuitive. You know, you just choose, do you want to improve your armor? Do you want to improve your shooting things? You know, just now and again, you don't have to do these things. And apparently from reading online, you don't really, you know, you don't have to actually do any of these things to complete the game. The fighting isn't too tricky. It's really quite intuitive. You know, it's very easy to, you know, rank up a lot of headshots on the easy levels, you know, because I'm more about exploration than the, you know, actual hardcore gaming and hardcore shooting. I'm more about wanting to see everything that this game has to offer at any opportunity. So I enjoyed that. I think my slight problem with it is again, I've been spoiled by Fallout 3, and I found this when I was playing Arkham Asylum, is that it looks amazing, but it's almost look but don't touch with a lot of these things, because not a lot of stuff does stuff. There's a lot of decoration. You know, and in Fallout 3, you're actually scavenging every sort of little piece of scenery almost you can interact with, and it does something. I don't think that depth of play is there. Also, I'm going to go back to my usual bugbear of too much story. I don't care. These stories are always, oh, bloody blah has done this and some evil corporation has done this and now you've got to go here and do that. And it's just, basically, it might as well just say, oh, go and pick up this green ring that's at the bottom of a pit because we say so. You know, it doesn't really matter. The story is incidental, really, to me. It's just about getting on and playing the game. However, you know, that's going to annoy a lot of people. A lot of people that have been really excited about this being the next chapter. But it's kind of, that's all I can say at the moment, because, you know, I've only had my Xbox back for a few days, so I've only got a little bit into it. And the other thing I've been massively distracted by is because I got membership to Xbox Live, which I've never done before, gold membership anyway, for repairing my console. They gave me that as a treat. And I've become obsessed with 1 versus 100. Don't know if anybody else plays it in here. I got into the mob for the first time last night and instantly chuffed it up after getting 100% on the three previous rounds and therefore earning a place in the mob. Or I don't quite know how you earn a place in a mob, but getting into the mob and thinking I'm in with a chance because everyone stuffs it up towards the end, I'll get to split those Xbox points with however many members there are in the mob. About the third question in, I got it wrong because it was one about sport. Oh. You know, there should be just, there are rounds like, it amazes me because there was a round called World Cinema, right? So you're thinking, you know, I did film studies at a degree. Yes, I am a ponce. I love films with subtitles. That's not why I love them, but, you know, it just tends to be, I find foreign cinema a lot more exciting. I thought World Cinema, it'll be great. You know, Eisenstein will be talking about German Expressionism, you know, all these sorts of things. No, one of the first questions was, who played the owner of the dog in the 1980s film K9? And you're like, that is not World Cinema. I think there was one question about Run Lola Run. Every other film was an English-speaking film, so I feel cheated. But they should have a round just for me called Nothing to Do with Sport. No sporting questions. That would be brilliant. I'd be quite happy if they had one that went no geography as well, because I'm a bit rubbish at that. But no sport, please. I don't know. I don't know who beat Chelsea in the 1991 World Cup in blah de blah. No, it annoys me. So no sport, but 100 to 1, fantastic. Look out for me leaping up and down in the crowd, Brian Shelf on there. Right, that'll do, I think.
Nice one, Brian. Make sure you stick around because I want to get your thoughts on the headline competition. But that's our review of Mass Effect 2, available now on 360. If you've got any thoughts yourself, of course, you can get in contact via the website, www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Rick, you've been playing the PS3's Tekken 6. Tell us all about it.
At bloody last as well. Regular listeners will know that I've been hanging on to this, and I was more than a little annoyed when my copy came through, only for it to be on the Xbox 360. So Brian nicked it. Anyway, but finally I managed to track one down and grab a copy of it myself. And anyone that's not a big fan of Tekken or not really in the loop about Tekken, well, what makes Tekken 6 so big is the fact that it's the first proper next-gen Tekken, and it's got 42 characters. Can you believe it? 42 playable characters in there. Now, the strength of, I've said this before in reviewing Street Fighter 4, the strength of a beat-em-up game is the depth and the believability and the intricacies of the characters. And, well, Tekken's got it in spades. If anyone's not played it before, then the main characters in there is Heihachi's, an old military leader who's basically run his own company, and then every couple of years he puts the whole company and all of his wealth on the line on the basis of a fighting tournament. It's ridiculous stuff, but and the plot just kept evolving where his son would beat him and then his grandson would beat his son or whatever, and the plots are just completely ridiculous and over the top. And once again, they've managed to pull out the bottom drawer plot that they could find, and no surprises here, but Heihachi's got an illegitimate son who now wants to take over the earth.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't have seen it coming because we just made it up anyway. The plots are absolutely tenuous and rubbish, but that's a beat-em-up for you. You don't go into it for believability. So the other characters in there, and the strength of, like I say, Tekken on these characters, is the fact that because there's so many of them now, they've managed to nail so many different martial arts styles or different techniques. So you've got everything from your British boxer, Steve Fox, and all of his moves are pretty much punches because he's a boxer, you know? And then you've got Lei Wulong, who's a Jackie Chan-esque cop who does like improvised fighting style. You might think he's coming at you with his left hand, but he'll end up falling over and clipping you in the ankles or whatever. Quite an unpredictable fighting style. And then you've got your Blade lookalike in Raven, Law, who's Bruce Lee, basically, and Ganryu, who's a sumo wrestler. There's absolutely masses of different fighting styles, but the genius of the control scheme is the fact that your top two buttons and the face buttons for your right thumb, they're your punches. The left one's your left punch, the right one's the right punch. And it works the same for your kicks on the bottom two. So if you're playing like Steve Fox and you're thinking, I just want to do a little 1-2, 1-2-3 combo, you just hit square, triangle, square, and it's like left punch, right punch, left punch. You don't have to read anything because you know what those buttons are. And if you want to go low, because he's a boxer and he hasn't got kicks, you start hitting the X, that's the low punch move for him, and it just works so well. If you want to go up and throw people, if you've got a special like sumo guy, you just basically double tap towards and use both the punch buttons, and they'll grab them and start throwing about. It's a really, really well honed and refined system that's been working for all five, and it comes into fruition here, because like I say, there's no way you're going to spend hours and hours learning each individual character when there's 42 of them. I mean, that's just immense. But consequently, it works in your favour as well, because if you start taking the game online, you might not know all of the other characters and what kind of chains that they've got. But then again, you can find some sort of predictability. Take Nina Williams. She's like a hired assassin. She's got a lot of slap moves and then low kicks and things. And once you get to learn what she's like to fight against, you can start battling her better. And of course, like I say, you're never going to know all 42 characters unless you pour in days and days into this. But you can start to pick up bits and pieces a little at a time. Now, my biggest criticism with Street Fighter 4 back in the day was that it's just so quick. You just, to pull off some of the combos, you just can't physically do it on a pad. And consequently, when you're battling against somebody that knows what they're doing, you can't defend against it because they're mixing up their highs and lows. I think Tekken's got a lot better learning curve. You can get in there and learn some basic mix-up combos and juggles within the first couple of hours. So I'd say this is a better package. You've got, again, within all those different characters, you've got some which are better for learning with, and you've got some technicals, like take King, he's a wrestler. Most of his effective moves are chain throws, so he'll be picking you up, breaking an arm, rolling you over, trying to break a leg and things like that. That's incredibly hard and complicated to do, but my God, once you get that first throw in and you're confident of getting the rest of the chain in, there's very little an opponent can do against it. So there's a brilliant depth to those 40-odd characters in there.
And you know what the question I'm going to ask?
Go on.
What would make you stop playing Tekken 6?
Oh, well, probably at the moment, one of the biggest modes in there is Scenario Campaign mode. Now, like I said, with all those characters, to actually have to go through the arcade mode, which is a standard, a 10-fight sequence, and then to beat it, to get the ending of each one. The guys at Namco have realised that, you know, you're never going to go through, 420 fights just to unlock all of the endings. So within the scenario campaign mode, there's an arena, and you only have to play 3, maybe 4 fights with each character to unlock all of the endings. But the main meat of the scenario campaign is a side-scrolling, relentless beat-em-up. My God, it's boring after a while. You just keep going on and on, and drones, hundreds of them just keep coming at you. You keep smacking them down, and then at the end of the stage, you manage to come up against a boss.
So the thing that will make you stop playing is too much content repetitive content.
Yeah, too much repetitive content. Because I know it seems like an oxymoron talking about a beat 'em up, but it's beat them up. But it's really just the fact that they're trying to take Tekken. They always do it. They always put in a different game mode, and Tekken Bowling was probably one of the better ones. But Scenario Campaign, it's just too long and too much of the same over and over again. I'd much rather have just the odd survival mode, which is in there, and the odd, I don't know, tag mode, which is again in there. But just like, there must be 40 odd stages of just endless waves of bad guys, almost followed by one boss at the end, and it just grates a bit after a while.
Ricardo, thank you for your review of Tekken 6 on PS3. Two great reviews there. Mass Effect 2 and Tekken 6 available on 360 and also on PS3 there. I've been playing Lego Rock Band, which is the game we were talking about before Christmas, so I was keen to make sure that I touched on it after Christmas and into the new year. Gave it a big long blast over January, and well, interesting, really. I made it quite clear, actually, back end of last year, that I was getting a little bit bored of rhythm action games in terms of guitars. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah. You started to say that people were getting tired of it, and yeah, maybe that's why they brought out DJ Hero.
And one of the reasons that people talked about why it was still great was new track lists coming through all the time. So first of all, let's talk about the track list. Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. Two Princes, that's a great track. Blink-182's Aliens Exist, Summer of 69.
Family favourite.
These are great tracks, and these are all available on Lego Rock Band. I'm not even going to go into how the gameplay works, because it's a Rock Band game. It's exactly the same as it would normally come down. If you're looking for something like, I think, 45 new tracks, which are sort of quite family favourites, so you've got some good Charlotte stuff on there, some Kaiser Chiefs on there, some really weird ones as well appear, Word Up by Korn and things like that. A lot of quite strange ones appear, but great tracks. Ghostbusters, That's going to be great. Two Princes, Aliens Exist were the three that really stood out for me. So gameplay-wise, plays exactly the same as every Rock Band and Guitar Hero game that you have already played. So is that good? Yeah, of course that's good. You can also play band mode as well. Is that exactly the same as the other games? It's exactly the same. Let's not go over any old ground. But let's talk about the graphics.
Okay.
Oh, my word. Really? The only way I can describe this is as if somebody ate some Lego bricks, swallowed them, opened up my Wii, and then was sick into the Wii. And then that was what came out on the screen. The graphics are, you're talking, they look, they look like sub PS2 quality.
Oh no, really?
Really, really poor. I mean, it's a Lego game, of course it's blocky.
Yeah,
but this is blocky, like, to the point you can actually see it's graphically
jaggies all over the place.
Absolute dog's dinner. It looks terrible. I mean, the thing is, when you're playing the game, you don't notice, because the game plays exactly the same as every other Rock Band. That's absolutely fantastic. You know, if you're a young person, like, i.e. under the age of 10, and you want to get into games like this, this is the perfect game to start on it. But for seasoned gamers, particularly having played Beatles Rock Band, which looks phenomenal, this looks really, really poor. The colours look quite faded. There are options, for instance, to sort of buy stuff for your sort of holding area just off the stage sort of thing, and you can buy items when you've played through things.
Can you make stuff out of Lego?
There are certain elements like that. What you can do, for instance, is you can buy a sign, but when the sign actually goes up, the graphics are so bad you can't read what the sign
oh,
says.
Rubbish.
You know, there's things like that which are just really, really, you know, texture-wise, are really, really poor. That really disappointed me. There's another mode, which is a mode off the sort of main tour mode, which basically allows you to do things such as, you are playing a song, and while you're playing the song, you have to hit certain points, reach a certain level. Two, for instance, scare ghosts out of a building. Two, for instance, bring down a building like it's a building site, and you play, and if you hit certain combos, you get a certain levels and ratings, the building falls down. So that's an interesting way of sort of making things a little bit more interesting. So that's okay, but the graphics are so poor that you just think, it's not doing enough to make me want to come back. So
are the graphics that bad that it would make you stop playing then? Is that what was going to make you stop playing?
Yeah, because you almost think, you know, there's the effort has gone in there with the track listing, the ideas are there, but just in terms of getting it out there, particularly for Wii owners, it's almost as if they've thought, Wii owners aren't that bothered about graphics. But let me tell you, they are, because they've played Rock Band Beatles and it looked absolutely fantastic. That you know, they can't wait to play maybe Rock Band 2. Got Guitar Heroes 3 through to 3 to 5 and greatest hits and all that sort of thing.
Go back to the Marios. I mean, they are beautiful games.
Absolutely.
Regardless of graphical sort of quality, that what they've done with the hardware is amazing.
And in terms of what would make me stop playing this game, well, let me just say that what would make me stop playing this game, you mentioned it there, Mario. Because outside of the graphics being really quite poor and just think, you know, not enough effort has been made into this game for me to then get enough out of it, the options of going gold coin collecting in Mario is too strong. The draw is still too strong. 2 months on, I'm still sort of playing. In fact, it's more than that. It's about 2.5 months on. There are still ones that I'm trying to find. The co-op mode, playing with my girlfriend, for instance. That
you're still
sort of
playing
thing.
It with her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
despite,
work.
Despite
sticking
the divorce and all that. Yeah. We basically, we took a little bit of time off and we've worked it back into our routine. But that was will be what would make me stop playing Lego Rock Band, plus the graphics. But I will say, track listing, very good. If you're a younger person who is looking to play a game like this, maybe for the first time, or you want to play and bring your mum and dad and or your gran and get them involved, for instance, there's like no fail mode and things like that. It's a great starting point. It's certainly not, though, a great finishing point, and it's certainly not a great addition to a great set. If you want to, you know, keep it Beatles Rock Band, I think you'll get a lot more out of that than moving on to this. Okay, I tell you what, let's fly through the mailbag. Chris in Liverpool. Hey guys, can't wait for the first cast of 2010. Well, here it is. Chris, you're in it. Are you calling it 2010 or 2010? I'm going for 2010.
2010.
Rob on the email said, it has been far too long and my journeys are now becoming longer without the wit and wisdom of you gents when on my way to London.
Aww.
There you go, Rob, there.
Hope he doesn't have to travel too often.
No, absolutely. Yeah. We will be back, though, I promise, in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. Craig in Darlington, have you seen the screenshots for Epic Mickey? It looks like it's going to be pretty mint. Epic Mickey, for people who don't realise, is a new game from Disney, and it looks absolutely fantastic. But the only thing that's available out there at the moment are screenshots, and it's classic Disney. It's like a reinvention of Mickey Mouse. It's going to be great, and it's going to be sort of the launch pad for his sort of return to Disney's forefront, if you like. Obviously, he's been taken over by your Buzz Lightyears and all that sort of thing. But Mickey's back. Epic Mickey is going to be a great game, I believe, for 2010, the back end of 2010. It's going to be like a Zelda Mario Cross, I think, according to what the developers are saying. If you can find a video to it, then do send me a link, but I simply can't find one anywhere. I've seen screenshots left, right, and centre, but certainly no videos. But Craig in Darlington, yeah, Epic Mickey does look like it's going to be pretty mint. So the headline competition returns. It was a story of a 38-year-old mum of two who lost 8 stone because of Wii Fit. She was a self-confessed beached whale who weighed 18 stone. She now weighs about 10 stone. Her sex life has improved. Her name was Lara Roberts. She goes on for an hour a day. She's now a size 10. Her daughter's mates now fancy her. As far as I'm concerned, the Wii Fit saved my life. There were loads of different elements to this story, but what have you guys come up with? Brian, we'll come up with, well, we'll do you first.
I've gone for whale fit. I don't know if that works. Or maybe beach whale to beach babe. Or wobble wee. No. It's kind of hard to do this without actually knowing what the challenge was, because I wasn't listening earlier on. Sorry about that. So it's obviously something to do with a fat person and Wii Fit. I'm looking flabulous. No, it's got to have nin. No.
I'll tell you what, we'll let you off with that one. Yeah, they'll do. Yes, thank you, Brian. Shelf. He looks forward to this every time, I can tell. That's where he puts in so much effort. Ricardo, what have you got for us?
Well, she's obviously going to become the new face of Wii Fit, so I think so. A headline, I got Wii-Li-Fit. I got Wii-Li-Fit.
I got Wii-Li-Fit.
Yes.
I like that one. Do you know what I went for?
Go on.
Similar to Brian Shelf. I've gone for, she used to be well-fat. Now
nice,
she's
nice.
Wheel fit. I should have done wheelie fit.
Yeah,
shouldn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah. It's a bit long, but yeah, I think it's good.
Well, the headline that actually appeared in the on this particular online story was "Wii Fit saved my life." Ex beached whale mum. That was the actual headline. So I prefer ours either way. So guys, thanks for that. Yeah. We will do another headline competition, I promise, in 2 weeks' time. Shortly before we go, I just got to say, big year for gaming in 2010. I'm really looking forward to Sin and Punishment 2 in particular. I've got Monster Hunters 3 coming out on Wii, Mario Galaxy 2. What else is coming out on Wii? There's another big game, New Legend of Zelda game coming out as well. We already touched on before GTA 4 downloadable content coming to PS3 as well. But if you've got any big games you're looking forward to in 2010, you want us to find out more about, maybe get some interviews in the can, then get in contact via the website www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Click on the radio station there and click through to us. You can email us via that, or you can do it via our Facebook page, facebook.com/alinktothecast, and it's the same with Twitter, twitter.com/alinktothecast, and we will do our best to touch on as many of those games as we can over the next year. So there we go, that was A Link to the Cast, the first episode, the first podcast of 2010. Really appreciate your time. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time, I absolutely promise you. So many thanks to the team today. Rick on PS3.
Goodbye.
Ryan Shelf and his pizza thing. Yeah, thank you very much for that. And we will be back very soon. This is A Link to the Cast. There's plenty of other old episodes that you may not have heard already going back to the start of last year. So do go on the website or subscribe to us via iTunes, and you can get all the reviews of games we've covered in the last year. Plus, there's a whole pile of interviews on there as well. People like Laszlo from Grand Theft Auto, Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario, is also on there as well. Jason Bradbury from The Gadget Show, and the best games of 2009. They're all reviewed and they're all available via our website, or if you're subscribing via iTunes, you can listen to them there as well. We'll catch you next time. I've just realised I've been talking into the back of the flaming microphone the entire bloody
just destined for troubles. It's just the way
it's
it is.
Oh, that's why it sounded terrible. I've been talking to the back of the mouth.
Oh, my word.